Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us on The Catch-Up. Coming up on the show this afternoon, some dude, Jason Costigan, his name is. He's the leader of the For North Queensland party. He wants North Queensland to break free from Southeast Queensland and become its own state. We'll chat to him. We'll take your calls on if you think it's a good idea. And a legitimate tough mofo by the name of Mark Wales joins us. Last night on Channel 7, they had the premiere of that SAS Australia show. How real is that show? Or is it full of BS? Mark tells us what it's actually like to be in the SAS. Billy James joins us. He's a Gold Coaster who's leading a push for us to bring back the old school ocean pools that we used to have here on the Gold Coast. And we reveal to Billy our poll as to whether or not the Gold Coast actually wants them back in action. On the Today Show this morning, there was a bit of fun with the newsreader losing his voice. We have a bit of a trip down memory lane of a fellow broadcasters doing the exact same thing. And if you missed out on AFL Grand Final tickets today, Sophie Upcroft from Nine News joins us to reveal how you could still be there on the big day at the Gabba, the one and only Grand Final that we're probably ever likely to see in Brisbane. You can hear that and a whole heap more. If you listen to this, it's The Catch-Up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Everything Gold Coast on our show, but we're going up to North Queensland right now. I want to introduce you to a hardcore North Queenslander. Jason Costigan is his name. You might know him. He used to call the rugby league on Foxtel a few years ago, and now he's the member for the Wits Sundays, and he's leading a charge to try and create a brand new state. He wants North Queensland to break free of us here down in southeast Queensland and be their own state. G'day, mate. How are you?
Hey, Luke. Good afternoon from what I hope to call one day the Reef State, from the beautiful electorate of Whitsunday Sunday, as people continue to vote in what's a very critical election for, well, everyone in Queensland, but particularly those in North Queensland where I am.
So you feel like you, the way I understand it, Jason, you feel you get ripped off, basically. You don't get a fair deal on behalf of Queensland. All the resources go to us down here in southeast Queensland, and you guys are left in limbo, so to speak.
Well, no disrespect to you. Don't take it personally, Luke, but you guys suck us like a leech in the rainforest, and we're jack of it. We're jack of it. And I'll tell you something. I know for a fact the little bird told me your father was floating around Dingo Beach in my electorate not too long ago, and he would have heard it from my constituents that we feel ripped off, we feel alienated by the two major parties in the southeast corner, and on the back of the COVID pandemic, we're really concerned about this economic recovery that your listeners are hearing a lot about from people in high office, premiers, prime ministers, whoever. My concern is that the economic recovery will start in the southeast between Noosa and Coolangatta, and by the time it comes to North Queensland and my part of the world, I'll be in a rocking chair.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this, Jason, and I'm being deadly serious, and you're right about my old man. He's a proud North Queenslander like you obviously are. He lives up there at Mission Beach. But, mate, here's my serious concern, and I'm not being flippant about this. This is how much it means to me. I'd hate for your proposal to ever come to fruition for the sole reason of...
Here we go. I know you're going to go to State of Origin here. I'm happy to give you the team.
It would lessen our State of Origin side, mate. It would absolutely lessen our State of Origin side. And we're all Queenslanders together, mate. Like, Billy's up there in Innisfail. We've got so many great Queenslanders that have hailed from North Queensland. They're not opponents, mate. They're brothers. We're all in it together. Why don't we just fix the problems of us not looking after our North Queensland brothers rather than you guys having a brand new state? We don't need more bureaucracy, am I right?
Well, I told Ben Fordham on another station this morning. I said, listen, I'm happy to give Bolts the team, the North Queensland State of Origin team, and I'm happy to pick the team. In fact, I'm happy to have the Bradnam family help me pick the team. I'm sure Kerry Boasted will help me pick the North Queensland State of Origin team. But look, at the end of the day, economically it stacks up. We've got a $70 billion economy built on resources and, of course, the agricultural sector, the tourism sector, and the people of central, north and far north Queensland, they need to unite now more than ever before. And I, as the leader of North Queensland First, I'm trying to pull this off. Sure, this is a mammoth task that I'm trying to undertake here, and a lot of people are giving me next to no chance. But I remember, Luke, I remember Kerry Boasted. I mentioned his name just a moment ago. I can recall interviewing him as a young reporter in Townsville many moons ago. We gave Bowie no chance to get us into the Winfield Cup. Now, no one questions North Queensland standing alone in what is called the NRL. There's no reason why North Queensland can't go forward. And if I'm successful at the ballot box and North Queensland First secures the balance of power, I want a referendum in October 2022 so that the people north of Bundaberg can decide their own fate and set up Australia, the seventh state, the new state of North Queensland, a.k.a. the Reef State.
But you'd be, and I like the name, by the way. I think the Reef State sounds really great. But, mate, we're talking about more bureaucracy.
We are, though, Jason.
How can you be talking about less bureaucracy when you're talking about creating a brand new state?
There'll be no fat cats in my kingdom, I can tell you that. If you want fat cats, you can watch a certain children's television show. And the difference between fat cat and some of our political leaders is that fat cat's got friends. I'll tell you this. More and more people, I'll say it again, are jack of the major parties and their focus on southeast Queensland and us getting the crumbs. And we contribute enormously with our riches in the Bowen Basin, the northwest minerals province up there around Cloncurry and Mount Isa. And that's before we talk about the cattle industry, the sugar industry, the tourism industry. And I can tell you, you can come on a Triple M tour, an odyssey, call it what you want. Get your listeners to come on a bus with Costo. Don't worry about the Borg bus. You can come on my bus. Your dad can be the conductor and we can stop off at Mission Beach and you can go and talk to people in Cairns, Townsville, Mackay, Indigenous people, people in remote communities up the Cape, in the coal fields. They'll tell you the same. We're sick of this drain into the southeast. You guys building bridges and tunnels and whatever else with our riches. It's got to stop.
Well, I think you got a point to be made there. I think we can solve the problem without creating a brand new state and weakening our state of origin side. That's my honest opinion, Jason. But, mate, I'll tell you this much for nothing. I love someone that's got passion. I love someone that's got drive. And I got to say, if I lived in your neck of the woods, it'd be hard not to vote for you, mate, because you wear your heart on your sleeve, and I appreciate that. Good on you, mate. Thanks for your time today.
Terrific. If I tell you what, if I pull it off, this interview will become part of folklore and I can retire graciously and a happy man and perhaps go back moonlighting, a.k.a. Bruce Willis, and call the footy, State of Origin, North Queensland versus Queensland. How good would that be?
I never want to see it. Hey, Chase, thanks for your time, mate. All the best.
Good to be with you.
Oh, what do you think, Gold Coast? Our number, 132710. I'm dead against it, and for the reasons that I stated with Jason. Don't want our State of Origin side to be weakened, and that's my sole reason. I've got to be honest with you. Kathy from Hallensvale's called through. What did you want to say, Kathy? What did you make of that chat?
Good on him.
You like it?
Good on him.
You like the idea?
Yeah, look, I'm a Mexican, south of the border, moved up here, lived here a long time, but you know, it's Anastasia Palaszczuk is the Premier of Brisbane. She is not the Premier of Queensland. She doesn't give a toss about the Gold Coast, the Scenic Rim, the Sunshine Coast, or anywhere else in Queensland. And when Jason said, look, you're spending their riches on tunnels and bridges and this, that and everything else, he is so right.
Hey, good on you, Kathy. Let's see what Dean out of Burley has to say. Go ahead, Dean. You're on the air, mate.
Yeah, Luke, just my opinion is that I think he's got a very valid point. I lived on the Gold Coast since 2009, love the place. I won't be leaving it. But I have also lived out at Roma in central Queensland and Gladstone in central north Queensland, I suppose you call it central Queensland. And I really do believe them areas are missed by the government spending and the infrastructure and such that is promoted and given to the southeast is definitely not given to other areas of the state, and they definitely miss out. And I've got no issues with them wanting to form their own state.
But what about the state of origin, mate? I mean, let's get to the important stuff.
Yeah, I know about that. You could always still have combined Queensland. So if the North Queensland, South Queensland, as they call it, if it's still kind of the combined Queensland origin side, and I'm a staunch league supporter and love the Maroons, but just on the terms of what the people receive, I really do believe they miss out.
Hey, good on you, Dean. Appreciate your call, mate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
A lot of the Gold Coast this afternoon is talking about this show last night that debuted on Channel 7, SAS Australia. Gold Coaster Chappelle Corby was on the show. But the big talking point was that Roxy Jakosenko, whatever her name is, Jacenko, I don't know, she lasted 6 hours before she gave up and got off the show. Mark Wales is joining us right now. Now, who is Mark Wales? This is a tough hombre, mate. This guy is the real deal. He's not pretending for some TV show. He's actual SAS, or at least was. G'day, Mark. Welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Hey, how you going?
Can I tell you straight up, mate, that I have total respect for you because I know how tough the SAS dudes are, and you actually were part of our SAS, am I right?
I once upon a time, yeah, I was in the unit for about 6 years, so yeah, wow. it was good to be there. It was great to watch the show last night. It was pretty good.
So when you watched the show last night, I reckon a lot of our Gold Coasters will be wanting to know, how real was it? I mean, when you had to try and get into the SAS, was it tougher than last night, or was last night a good representation of what you had to actually go through?
I think some of the principles of it were the same. You can't make it the same level of difficulty because when you're doing it for real, you're kind of all trained soldiers and you've got the basics, but these guys kind of don't, so they can't push them to that level because they'll hurt them. But some of the way they do it's quite real. Like, they have this kind of shock of capture thing. So when you get there and arrive, you put through your paces straight away. It's really uncomfortable. And it scares the hell out of people. It's difficult, and you see just how much pressure they're put under straight away, and it's just that psychological shock that you got to try and keep your composure and hang on to and try and get through that danger bit, which is the first couple of days.
A lot of people being hard. Apparently she's getting trolled online at the moment, the Roxy Jasenko, because she gave it the flick after 6 hours. I'm the other way, Mark. I go, good on her for having a crack. Now, she's she's a PR girl, for crying out loud. What did we expect? We're putting a square peg into a round hole and then being all up in arms when she's not fitting in properly. Of course she's not fitting in properly. That's what the TV show was all about. But did you see, when you were actually doing it for real, anyone give up in a shorter space of time?
Oh, yeah. People leave quickly because it weeds out the people that aren't quite psychologically ready or physically ready. And I kind of felt for it too, because it all looks so easy when you're sitting on your couch.
Exactly.
With a cup of tea. But it's bloody difficult once you're in there. So I did sympathise with it. And you can get hurt doing it. Like, it looks like she was injured too.
What was the toughest thing you had to do, Mark, when you were qualifying?
There's one phase where you're on your own for a long time, like a number of days, and you're navigating around in the bush, and you got kind of no idea of how well you're doing, and your body's starting to break down, and that was hard for me. I found that psychologically difficult because no one's telling you to do it. You're inflicting the pain on yourself, so you got to keep that kind of desire to be there. That has to be really prominent.
You're a tough mofo, mate. With all due respect, you really are.
Once upon a time.
It stays with you, mate. It stays with you. I mean, not to make this about me in any way, but I do endurance sports. And endurance sports taught me, the one thing it's taught me is that I'm tougher than I ever thought I was. But this is a whole new level, what you do with the SAS. Do you think that from what you saw last night, any of these guys will actually get through? Because it's been on overseas, this TV show, and I think out of the 6 years, only one person's ever qualified. Do you reckon, from what you saw last night, anyone will make it?
Yeah, they'll definitely make it. I think that it's classic kind of storytelling. It's a bit about SA selection, but what you're watching is the transformation of these people that come in. They start at a certain level and they go through this whole journey where they think they can't do it and they break through. And that's kind of exciting viewing for people. That's what we watch.
Mark, I could chat to you all day, my friend. Thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Hey, have a good one.
Good. There he goes, Mark Wales. I'll tell you what I want to do, mate, because everyone's given it to Roxy Jasenko for giving up after 6 hours. I'll bet you there's people listening to us right now that have quit their job or whatever in less than that time. Like, you go to a job and sometimes you go, I know this is not for me. I know I hate this joint. Or you start a marathon and you go, nah, mate, I'm pulling up at the 5K mark. How quickly did you give up? That's what we want to know this afternoon. Our number is 132710. We've actually got a really cool prize to give away, the Savo as well. But 132710, how quickly did you give it the flick? Might be a job, might be an event that you entered, or whatever the case may be. Marilyn's called through from Currumbin. How quickly have you quit something, Marilyn?
I haven't quit, Luke, but I worked for a company. It was a solicitor's company in Bundle. I live at Currumbin. And over a period of 3 months, we would have had 2,000 minimum girls who started the job in the morning and had vanished by morning tea time.
Why?
Never to be seen again.
Really? So what, they'd leave the day they started?
Well, the principal was a very difficult person to deal with, and when you get files thrown at you, it can bring on the tears.
Wow. Hey, what about that?
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I got a real shock yesterday when we were discussing on the show these this proposal to bring these ocean-style pools to our beaches, particularly one at Burleigh Heads. You've seen them down in Sydney, these rock-style pools filled with salt water, because I thought that the Gold Coast might not want this. But look, we took a heap of calls. In fact, our phones went off the hook, and here's what people had to say.
Yeah, I reckon they're good ideas for the elders, mate, honestly, because there's a lot of rips out there.
Yes, bring them back. I can remember them as a child. They had the one at Burleigh and one down at Coolangatta. They were great.
I love the idea of it. I have fond memories of it as a kid, so, you know, I'd like to see it for my kids up here.
I'm in favour of them, Luke. They're great. I grew up in Newcastle. You got one at the south end of Merriweather, one at the north end of Newcastle Beach. If you want to just go and do 5 or 10 laps, you're not paying for it. You just go and do it.
It was unanimous amongst the calls that we took yesterday, which was a sample. But it was a surprise to me because I thought it would be more controversial. I thought it would be 50-50 at least. But the man that's leading the charge is a heavy hitter from our city. In fact, I spent most of my youth at his joint, Billy's Beach House. Billy James joins us right now. G'day, Billy. How are you, mate?
Hey, Luke. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for having me, mate. I spent the 90s at your place there at Billy's Beach House. Gee, I missed the joint.
Well, so do I. I remember about 5 out of 20 years, but I know I had a good time, man.
Hey, okay, let's talk about this, mate, because you heard what I just said. Our phone calls yesterday were unanimously behind the proposal that you've helped put forward. So can you talk to us about the actual proposal?
Yeah, sure. Look, it's happened over a number of years. We've had to put together a case, shall I say, for ocean pools, ocean baths, and basically the proposal that's gone to council now is asking for them to explore the opportunity by way of a feasibility in a number of spots, but specifically, as you said, Burleigh, and that's where we'll focus on, simply because, and importantly, because there was one there previously and it worked very well.
So why did they get rid of it, Billy? If it worked well, what was the reasoning behind getting rid of it?
As far as I've confined, and it, not so much on Burleigh, but on Snapper Rocks, it was really because of maintenance issues and the fact that in those days they built those, you know, a lot of the concrete didn't have Rio in them, and so it goes, or not enough.
Right.
Not big enough to stand the elements, because they do get bashed up from time to time by the surge.
Right, Mother Nature has its way with
Mother
it.
Mother Nature.
So, Billy,
these days, mate, with engineering the way it is, they can build anything, and they won't budge.
So, but this is where I was, Billy, with it. I went, why would you want to swim in a like man-made ocean pool when you can just swim in the ocean? That was my initial thought. And then I went, hang on a second, I'm being ignorant here, because an old schoolmate of mine, Perry Cross, jumped on board and said it's a good idea. And I went, you know what? I've never looked at life through the filter of Perry Cross and people who have a disability. And then I went, okay, if Perry's for it, mate, I'm for it, because that's where I changed my mind on it. But is that the thinking behind these pools, Billy?
That's exactly that. That's the key to it, and that's what I heard one of your listeners talking about the pools at Merriweather, etc.
Right.
And that was about 4 or 5 years ago when I first saw a couple of kids there that were disabled getting out of their own wheelchairs into chairs supplied by the pool, and they went down a ramp, and they, you know, it brought a tear to my eye
just to
see the absolute joy in their minds and hearts as to what they were doing.
Well, you got my support, and Billy, I got some news for you, my friend. This is what we did this morning. We whacked it up onto our Instagram. We've been running a poll because, as I said yesterday, we had 100% support from our listeners, but that was a small sample. We only took 5 or 6 calls, but even though we could have taken 100. But we've whacked it up onto our Instagram. We've been running it for the last 12 hours. Now, at this stage, we've had over 1,000 people vote, and the percentage, Bill, is 95% of Gold Coasters are in favour of it, and it's actually more than 95%. Less than 5% are against it. So it's an overwhelming response, mate.
Oh, that just brings a joy to my heart.
You got my support, mate. Anything you need to get it over the line, and I got a big mouth on me, mate. Believe me. So good on you, mate. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much again for having me, and I'll talk to you soon.
Good on you, mate. There he goes, Billy James, Gold Coast legend.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Pretty funny on the Today Show this morning, whoever their newsreader is they've got at the moment. I don't know if he's, I don't know if he's going to get raced off to get a COVID test, but he was short of breath, that's for sure. He was at a really scratchy voice, but he was powering through, mate. He's not one of these guys to get an ingrown toenail and take the day off work. He's obviously a little bit under the weather, trying to plough through the news, but have a listen. He was struggling.
The latest coronavirus figures for Victoria have just been released. There have been 4 new cases in Victoria in the past 24 hours. Sadly, 1 death has been recorded. This compares to 2 cases yesterday and 0 deaths. Excuse my voice.
It's always funny when they're talking about coronavirus, but they sound under the weather themselves as they're doing it. Remember that one we had where the health minister was coughing the whole way through? Oh, you haven't got that, have you? Have a go. This is the health minister talking about coronavirus and didn't sound 100% himself.
The owner of a local restaurant and bar in Chapel Hill, Brisbane, who said JobKeeper saved our bacon. And Adrian, owner of an auto business. Sorry.
Oh, jeez. Oh, mate. You right? Oh, far out.
Too long a speech.
Oh, that's enough. I can't stomach anymore. I'll throw up. I can't deal with any more of that. The best trooper, mate, in the history of broadcasting, the best trooper is an Ipswich race caller. This is about 15 years old, this audio, but I hang on to it like a life raft because I always give it a run when there's something like this in the media. This guy's an absolute legend. I wish I could remember his name. But he should have gone home, but there was no one to cover for him. And he went, bugger it, I get paid to call the races, I'm going to call the races, even if I've got no voice. This guy, I give 11 out of 10. Have a listen.
Heading towards a 600, second quarter, 32-1, 65 for the half. Now he goes full steam ahead, we're one step closer, and he goes forward three wide quickly. Going with the Lalaya Rose on the inside, Cop and Eiffel can't go with them. Then in turn behind those between runners will be Ona Tijan. On the inside, Lindell Dady, and at the tail in the field, we're looking about 5 or 6 metres to Boobaroe boy. I think we're gone here, in front, leading the way. It's the Lalaya Rose, leads by 2 metres in second placing.
What a legend.
No, I don't think I'll get through this. Yatesy, where are you? We need you, mate. In front of Lia Rose, down the outside, trying hard, was one step closer. But Lia Rose wins. Second placing, we own a teach, and I think, or on the inside, Cop and Eiffel.
Legend. Give him a round of applause, mate. He should have won at Logie for that. Yeah. Guy's a hero. Hey.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Today, the tickets went on sale for the AFL Grand Final. Only time we're probably going to see it in our lifetime where we've got a Queensland AFL Grand Final. Apparently, the tickets sold out in record time, but there's still a chance. If you missed out on tickets, there's still a chance for you to get your hands on some. Sophie Upcroft from Channel 9 is joining us right now. Hey, Soph, how are you?
Hey, Luke, how are you going? Queensland's got AFL fever like they've never had before, hey?
Well, we've got no teams to support in the NRL, so we've got to turn our attention somewhere. But what's the go? We could still get our hands on tickets if you missed out today.
Oh, look, if we're lucky, if we're really lucky, and given the response that we had today, selling out in record time in just 20 minutes. I mean, Queenslanders were so lucky to even be given the chance to buy tickets. Normally in Victoria, when the AFL Grand Final is held down there, most of them are reserved for clubs and stakeholders and boxes and that type of thing. So it's very rare that the public actually gets access to it. This is the first time in 20 years that they have. So it's no surprise they sold out in 20 minutes. But if you are a diehard AFL fan, you want to be a part of history, there is a slight chance that that on Thursday at midday, they're going to do all the reallocation. So if people can't come, they're getting refunds, that type of thing. Basically, they're going to do checks and balances. And if there are any tickets left, they'll be on sale at midday on Thursday.
Right. So the people that were lucky enough to secure them today, Sophie, how did they do it? Was it online or did they have to sort of queue up?
It's 2020. Everything's COVID safe. So it was all online, right, which, I mean, is a bit disappointing for fans. I feel like they get a bit of a kick out of lining up nice and early, chatting to each other, lining up at the ticket office there. But it was all online today, which, I mean, it kind of meant it was anyone's bet. I spoke to a fan today who's a diehard Brisbane fan, but he was still desperate to go to the grand final no matter who was playing. He got online at 8 a.m. and refreshed every 2 minutes. But still, when he finally got in the queue at 8:45, he was number 1,660, which meant he just missed out by only about 600 people.
Oh, far out. Wouldn't you be spewing? Hey, okay, Soph, well done to anyone that got the tickets. Thursday's your only hope to get them. It sounds like you're going to have slim pickings on Thursday. But, Soph, appreciate your time today. We'll see your report tonight on Nine News.
Thanks, Luke. Chat to you.
There she goes. Sophie Upcroft, this is your live and local drive home, the Rush Hour. We're racking off out of here now. Thank you so much for your time today. We will be back tomorrow afternoon from 4 for your local drive home. Cop you then.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.